It is so good to be back with you guys. What's up, Metro? Make some noise for Metro right here. What is up? You know what? It's come true. I have walked out with Drake. So it's happened in my life. I can die now. This is good. And if you're a guest here and you're wondering why are we playing this song, it's just simply because of that. It has nothing to do with the talk this morning, but it's so much fun. In fact, it does have something to do with the talk. The song's name, anybody know what the song's name is? Anybody? Yes, In My Feelings. So we're going to talk about feelings. That's pretty much it. Hey, glad to be back with you guys. Those of you who are either guests, or you've been gone too, I've been gone, and so we've been gone. Metro, you guys have been taking a break as well in terms of just people going in and out. Vacation is always good, right? It's good. Summer is good. I know people are in and out, but it's great to just take a break. It's good for my soul, so I'm just thankful for Mike, Pastor Mike, who was here this past weekend. And then, yes, give it up for Pastor Mike. For Kim Honeycutt, we've got some fans. Okay. Hey, calm down. Calm down, Kim Honeycutt. Calm down. All right. And then we had Pastor Tim Timberlake as well. And then next week, guys, we have Justin Timberlake. No, we don't. But if Justin, if you're watching this. My question is, do you love me? That's all I want to know. But no, Justin will not be here. But with this morning, though, I want to continue our conversation that we've been having this summer. If you've been following along, if you're on live stream, maybe you've been, you know, downloading this or watching this as you travel. I know all kinds of stories of people, like, they're on vacation, but yet tuning in. It's great to be a part of what God's doing here. So this morning, I want to continue the conversation about the summer playlist. We're talking about different psalms and different just big ideas about what God is doing in our lives. And so this past summer, though, I was in Florida with my son, and this is one of the trips that we took, and I don't know what it is with my sound, I'm echoing or something like that, something's wrong, but yeah, but so we were flying out from Charlotte, and you know, we've traveled before together, but it's been all good. But this time I thought we were, like, we had our tickets, and we did have our tickets, and so you know how you are headed towards security, and there's like a pre-check line, and then there's a regular people line, right? Right, the common folk or whatever, or the rest of us, and then the important people apparently, or something like that. And so anyway, so there's this line, right? And so I noticed in my phone that I was pre-checked. So I was like, oh, this is awesome. Because when we walked by the regular line, it was for miles. It just kept on going and kept on going. And it was the first time, and I travel quite a bit, and I was like, I would never want to be in this line. And so I look at my thing, and I'm like, I don't have to be in this line. I look at the lady, I show her my thing, the card, and she goes, you're good. So I go on the pre-check line. The pre-check line, they're like 5-6 people. That's it. So Asher and I walk right up to the lady. I show her my ID. He's, you know, underage, so he doesn't have an ID. And so I go with him first, and I show her a ticket, and it says pre-checked. And she goes, okay, he's good. And then I give her my ID, and I give her my ticket, and she goes, oh, she said, you're not pre-checked. I said, I'm sorry, what? She goes, yeah, he's pre-checked. You're not pre-checked. I said, I'm his dad. Like, I don't know why I said that. I was like, I said, so what do we do? She's like, well, you can't go through. I said, well, and I looked at the other people on the other line. I was like, do I need to go there? She's like, you have to go there. I was like, are you serious? I said, we both have to go there? And she goes, no, just you. And my son, and he was like, I'm like, what? I'm like, you want to come with me? He's like, no. I was like, you're not going to come with me? He's like, no, I'm going to go in. Go through. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm going to leave you at this airport. That's what I'm going to do. So I kid you not, he goes through. He's like, hey, bye. And I go on the other side with everybody else. 20 minutes later, I show up. I'm like, where are you? You know, I'm mad the whole trip. I'm mad at him. I'm like, I can't believe this. So anything he wants to do, no. You see, I was okay. It would have been okay if he would have would be on the other side with me. Like if he was on this side with me, with everybody else suffering, it would be okay. But because he was on this side, I had an issue. Like I was like, what? Come on, what's the deal here? What's the problem? What's the problem? And you know, I've noticed this, that it's not really something that I deal with my son. It's also like in different areas of my life. Like I don't have a problem with my life until I see yours. Like, I really don't. I love my life. I love everything about me till I see what you have. Then I have an issue. Like, I love my kids. Then I see your kids. And I go, what an amazing kid. Can I trade my kid? Ah, sure. Actually, he's on the high schoolers. He's going into high school. I'm going to have a high schooler. Hello. Oh, my gosh. But they're actually on a trip. So pray for them that they come back. You know, Asher, maybe, I don't know, he can come back 20 minutes later. But they're on a trip, on a camp, and so we're excited about that. But it's so funny, when it comes to comparing, it's so interesting. We are okay until we see other people's things. And there's a word for that, right? There's a feeling that whatever that feeling is, it's a word, right? It's envy, isn't it? It's envy. It's like, it's one of those things that's really ugly, and yet, you know, we know it's bad, but we all experience it. Anybody experience envy by any show of hands, maybe, if you're being honest? Yes, Metro, yeah, right? We all experience it. And we don't have to make a case of why it's ugly. It is ugly. It's not pretty by any means. I mean, but sometimes envy is prominent or as sunglasses on your face because you can see it right there. And then sometimes envy creeps up like something between your teeth. Like you don't know it. You don't know that you're envious. You know what I'm saying? You feel certain things. You say a certain thing. You feel and you talk, you act, and you're just envious. You know someone in your life that you're envious with, and do you act differently around them? Or do you talk differently about them? Envy is interesting. And we don't need a talk. I don't mean to have a conversation about why envy is bad. You know? I think what we need to do is actually talk about why envy is helpful. It's actually helpful. And so what I want to do is I want to just take you on kind of like this, not a journey, but take you on this thought like, that just allows you to maybe consider that some of the feelings, this envious feelings that you have, you could actually use it to do something positive in your life. In fact, I believe that envy allows us to, number one, get real, and then allows us to actually realign our lives. If there's anything that envy is actually helpful for, it's actually that we can actually get real about some of the things that we're feeling and hoping for and experiencing or disappointed about, and give us the ability to actually realign our lives. And so here's what I want to do. I want to go through a passage of scripture, and it's one of my favorite psalms. And psalms are poems, they're songs written by different people. Some of them are attributed to King David. If you know the scriptures, you know that the psalms are pretty raw and with emotion. They express so many different kinds of emotions, and this one in particular is really pretty powerful because it talks about envy, and the guy who writes this is actually not King David, but the choir director, like his choir director, the guy who writes some of his songs. His name is Asaph, and he writes several of these psalms, but in particular, Psalm 73 is, I think, pretty profound. So here's what I want to do. What I want to do is I want to go through it and talk about it. Now, I don't want to read the entire psalm because it's pretty long. But if you have a Bible, if you can pull it up on a device, or you can follow along, I'll go through several sections of this and maybe kind of think through, like, is it possible that envy in our lives could be actually helpful to us? Because I believe it allows us to actually have real conversations about who we are and what we feel. So it allows us to be real, and it actually allows us to realign our lives. It gives us an opportunity to kind of go, okay, hold on, I need to realign my thought process, my life, my direction, my goals, my purpose. So it allows us to get real, and then what else? To what? Realign our lives. Here's why I think it's really important. I think it's really important because there are so many emotions that we feel as humans. And then when you put humans in a spiritual context, in a conversation like this or a community like this, the pressure to really pretend is huge. Right? It's just big. It's big. Like you, I don't know if you feel this, but if in the rest of your life you know, and you give yourself permission to feel and think and process one way. But then when you put yourself in a Christian context or a community, a spiritual context, or in church or Sunday morning, you're your Sunday morning best, right? And mostly everything is okay when it's really not. You know, and sometimes what happens is that we begin to live lives pretending that we're okay. But for some of us, envy, though it is ugly, it is a very real thing in our lives. And though we know it's wrong and it's bad and no one likes it and we probably shouldn't, it's just one of those things that we deal with and we don't know what to do. And sometimes when you're in a Christian context or in a church context or you're listening to a podcast or you're listening to a sermon, the answer is don't be envious. Well, thank you. That's wonderful. Like, but what do you do? Because it is one thing that doesn't really stop, does it? It doesn't stop. It just keeps on going. I recently read a quote, and I think it's really powerful. And it's like one of the biggest reasons why I think we need to have this conversation. It's a quote by Christopher Wright. He writes this book called The God I Don't Understand. And he talks about how when Christians don't get real, they begin to live a certain kind of lives and they begin to do certain kind of things. And here's his quote. I'll put it up on the screen for you. And he says this. He says, we end up, if we live a life that's not authentic and that doesn't address the feelings we have, he says, we end up giving external voice to pretended emotions we really do not feel. We don't really feel, while hiding the real emotions we are struggling with deep inside. Does that make sense? Like, isn't it true, though? Isn't it true? Like, sometimes we can give, external voices. We can just give, lip service to pretended emotions. I need to pretend I'm okay. I need to pretend I'm happy. I'm satisfied. I'm full of joy. And we don't really feel those while hiding real emotions that we're struggling with deep inside. So this morning, I'm hoping that we just say, hey, envy is a real thing. I feel it, you feel it, let's talk about it. But let's talk about how it could be actually helpful in our lives. So let's jump into our passage. It's Psalm 73. Psalm 73. Let me read you a couple of verses. I'll read the first five. It starts off like this, okay? So it says, truly, God is good to Israel, to those whose hearts are pure. Okay, verse 2, let's put it on the screen. Verse 2, read it with me if you don't mind. Metro, let's go with you. You guys join us as well. Okay, verse 2. But as for me, I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping, and I was almost gone. For I envied the proud when I saw them, what? Prosper despite their wickedness. Let's keep it going. They seem to live such painless lives. Anybody have a story on that? Their bodies are so healthy. Why are they so strong? Okay. They don't have troubles like other people. They are not plagued with problems like everyone else. Does this not capture an emotion you felt before? Like, what's going on? You know, what's interesting about this passage or this in Scripture is that it talks about, like, these particular pronouns. It talks about this idea of the they. Right? They. Like, do you have they in your life? The they that you envy? The they that are on the other side, that you really want to get on the other side? The they that are on the, you know, the pre-check line or not the pre-check line? They're on, everything is better with them. You know, like, they don't have issues. They prosper. They're not even good people, but you keep blessing them, God. Honestly, I want to be they. I really want to go there. Like, I really would love to, hey, God, when you're not watching, can I get on this side here? And let's do this. The problem is with envy is like, you, regardless of where you are on what side, you look at the other side and go, well, that side is pretty awesome. Can I just get on that side right here? And I just do this. OK, Can I go, okay, this is great. And then in a particular season, you're on this side and people think it's awesome and it's great. And then you go, that looks really great right there. I really would love to live where they're living. So can I just kind of go here and there and, oh gosh, where are they? They were here. Oh, they're there now. So let's go after they. So we just keep on going after they. Right, this guy right here, now he's talking about a political, honestly, a very political system. He was in authority. He saw the corruption that was going on in the government, and he saw what was happening in with rich people versus poor people. And he was going, what's going on? Because he was in charge of services. He was in charge of leading people. And he has a moment where he goes, I almost lost it. I almost lost it. And he starts off by saying this, surely God is good to Israel, and to those people whose hearts are pure. What's really interesting about that is he says there's a difference between knowing God is good and that God is good to me. It's a big difference. Something changes when you go from, hey, I know God's good, God's good, God's good. Yeah, because God's good to what? They, to them. God's good to them. But he's saying, God is good to Israel and God is good to me. Like, do you know that God is good to you? I think that's something to just consider as we go into this idea of what does it mean to find envy as being actually helpful. And then he says, as for me, I almost slipped. I almost lost it. Have you ever almost lost it? Okay, how many of you have just lost it? This is the wrong crowd. Sorry. There's no almost. There's I lost it. I lost it, right? You can lose it. You can lose it. And you can have thoughts like, I don't understand why these people are successful and I'm not. I just don't get this. They're plagued with problems and I'm not. But you know this, right? You know that on this side, it just seems really bad, right? And you want to go to the other side, because here is not good, and there seems awesome, and then when you finally get there, there is not awesome. Because you're like, there it now becomes what? Here. And now you want to get there. So let's go there. And then there seems awesome for a while, and then there becomes here. And you're like, why does there keep moving? Because envy doesn't stop. Envy doesn't have a season. Envy starts in maybe middle school, right? You're envious of things. High school, all kinds of envy of all kinds of weird things. You look back now and go, oh my gosh, why was I even worried about that? College, in your 20s, in your 30s, it has no seasons. And it has no limits. You can be envious of anything and everything. Recently, I watched The Big Sick. It's a movie, and I mean, I don't know if I recommend it or not, but it was fun for me. But it was actually directed by, and the guy who directed acted in it as well as a Pakistani guy, and I kind of related to him. But it was really fascinating. He tells his story about finding love and being a stand-up comedian, and it reminded me of my childhood. And I thought about envy, I thought about the most ridiculous thing I used to be envious of growing up. Now, I'm about to tell you something that'll blow your mind. You're like, are you serious? You're making this up. I'm not making this up, okay? This is Pakistani culture at its finest, okay? So my dad, when I was, I don't know, 11, 12, whatever. My dad was fascinated with foreheads. Foreheads. And he wanted his sons to have a particular kind of forehead. You think I'm joking. I am not making this up. Okay, maybe you can Google Pakistani foreheads. I don't know. I'll show up. Anyways, and my dad convinced my mom that we needed bigger foreheads because bigger foreheads were pretty. I don't know what's going on. And so they decided that they were going to map out my forehead And as an 11, 12-year-old, my brother and I would have, like, they would shave, and then, but they didn't want to shave them because now shaving foreheads and making it cool is awesome because of soccer players, whatever. But now, back there in the 1900s, it was, because I was born in the 1900s. Anyways, so were most of you. Anyway, so they didn't just shave it, they waxed it. They waxed it. So just imagine if I'm 11, 12, 13, I have puberty happening full on with zits. You know, zits are awesome. They're natural and whatever. And then we're waxing foreheads. And I'm going to school with a waxed forehead, bloody. And like, what is wrong with you? Nothing. I envied other people's parents so badly. Like, I'm like, what is going on? And then I kind of got into it. I was like, okay, I have to have the right forehead. As a 14-year-old, I had to have, I kid you not, it's actually a thing. It's a thing. Fascinating, isn't it? As a 14-year-old, I am actually comparing my forehead. Now I'm hoping my forehead shrinks. Like, because it keeps on going big. Like, I'm like, I needed to. Now I'm still envious of foreheads, apparently. And I'm like, oh, my forehead's so huge. What happened, you know? Must be because I'm smarter? No, not really. Isn't it ridiculous? Some of you, you are caught up in, like, you're looking at other people's spouses and you're like, hey, that's better. Kids, that's better. Job, that's better. I want that. Envious of people's relationships. Have you ever hung around with friends? Like, have you been in a moment where you were around friends and hanging out, having a good time, until you look at the table, the other table, and those friends are so much cooler and louder and funnier. And you're like, can I have those friends? Can I just go sit there? Maybe no one will notice. Like, will they let me in? You know, envy has no season, has no limits. The problem with envy is if you keep on going, you go down a really dark, dark path. He said, I envied the proud. And he basically says, I started to feel things that I couldn't understand why I was feeling. Verse 13, he says this. He says, Did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? I get nothing but trouble all day long. Every morning brings me pain. And so I try to understand why the wicked prosper. But what a difficult task that is. So right now he moves from they to like I. Like, he's talking about himself. He's like, so why am I trying to be good anyways? Like, why am I trying to do the right thing? Like, have you seen like people like, and you see this in traffic, you see this in life, right? People take shortcuts and they get further faster, right? They just do. And you're like, am I the loser who doesn't just cut corners? Should I just do that? Why can't I just do this? Like, why do I have to be committed to my values? Or can I just move faster, just in a different lane? Not that ethical. Maybe it violates my conscience, but I go further. Did I just waste my life trying to do the right thing? Trying to be pure? I mean, I think a lot of people ask that. They get to a point in their life, they're like, can I have a redo? Because I think I would have just not done all those things. You see, envy makes us question really who we are deep inside. And it kind of tells us that really trying to get what you want is the highest value in life. The highest value in life is not the kind of person you're becoming. It's what you're doing and the kind of life you're experiencing. Envy kind of changes everything about us. And in fact, it can mess us up. I'm recently going through a book by Ivan Stone. It's an autobiography of Vincent van Gogh, of his life. It's pretty huge book, but I'm at a point right now where Vincent, I don't know if you're familiar with, you know Van Gogh, obviously, some of you guys part of him, but it's a very interesting life. And I'm just at a point where he has just quit being a pastor, because he was a pastor for several years, and he's kind of lost his way. Because of the suffering and because of all the things that are going wrong in his life and because of a tragic accident that killed 20 kids, and he just couldn't understand it, couldn't wrap his mind around it. And Van Gogh, before he became this artist that now is worth millions and millions of dollars, he's this guy who had a deep passion for God and deep passion for humanity. And he spent a lot of his early 20s really serving the poor. And then right now in the part of his book, he's at a point where he looks around and he goes, "What am I doing?" And when I read this phrase, "Did I keep my heart pure for nothing?" I'm reminded of Vincent. I'm reminded of the thought that he was probably thinking, "Have I just done this for no reason? For no reason?" See, envy sometimes is not as shallow as we think it is. It actually gets deeper in. And it causes us to question exactly who we are. And for Vincent right there, I think he's going to start moving away from the faith. I'm not sure exactly what happens there, but something snaps in him the wrong way. And so I want to ask you, what can envy really do to us? Because we know it's bad. And we want to talk about why it could be actually helpful. But if you allow it to run rampant in your life, It'll do a couple of things. I listed a few. Number one, it'll just stop you. It'll press pause in your life. You'll find yourself just very hopeless instead of hopeful. You'll just stop. You'll just stop pursuing the things you want to pursue because you're looking at the other side and they're just going so fast. Have you ever thought like they're running so fast, they're going so fast, they're traveling so fast, their lives are going off so fast, they're so far ahead of me, it's not even worth catching up? Like I could never catch up with them. We have family members like that, don't we? They've left us in the, they're far surpassed us. But just that language, just that thought process of we are in a race, they're winning, that's the language of envy. It's not even right. And for some of us, we go, "I'm going to just stop trying." And what the problem is that you go, "Well, I can't get there, so I can't get there, you forfeit here. You don't do anything here." Because here's the problem with here. Here is the only thing that stays. So when you go, "I want to go there," and I go there, right? What happens to there? This becomes, we've been through this. We've done this. This becomes what? Here. And then this goes here, and we are back to here. See, the future, your future, is not there. Your future is not out there. Your future is here. It's here. This is it. The moment, the life, the season, the things you have, that's it. You're here. Here is the future. This is what will determine you're here. Because everywhere you go, you will be here. And so, envy can stop that whole process. Number two, it can actually allow us to coast through life. It basically what it does, it makes us go, "I'm just going to slow down. I'm going to do what I do. I'm not going to try harder." And what the problem with that is that sometimes you go, "Well, because I'm the reason why I'm going to coast is because, one, I'm not that talented. I'm not that smart. I don't have... the resources they have. I wasn't born with this. I wasn't given this. I wasn't, allotted this." And so their lives become better and bigger while we think our lives are just smaller than they are. And so you just want to coast. You want to stay in your lane in one sense. But I don't know if that's the answer to not being envious. And some of you, and some of us, we think it is. Number three, it's this idea of just being distracted. Like envy distracts you. It preoccupies your life. Your life, you begin to do things that you excel in and you're passionate about that don't matter. Let's say it again. You distract yourself. I have done that in seasons of my life. Become so passionate and work so hard at stuff that does not matter. You're so passionate about this project. It does not matter. But you're passionate about it. Because you're just distracted. You're distracting yourself. You're like, I can't get there, so I'm going to basically cope with the fact that I'm never going to get there, so I'm going to make this pretty. Or I'm just going to make sure I don't look there. The problem is, you think you're working here, you're working on here, but you're not really working on here. And for some of us, the most important relationships are the ones we're not really working on. We're just not. The most important conversations we're having, or we're supposed to have, we're not having. The things that we should really be focusing on, we're just not. Because pleasure is a great distraction. Because pleasure makes us happy. And who doesn't want to be happy? You can just be happy. The problem with happiness is it's connected to whatever happens. It doesn't work. You're not going to be happy. Because at some point, you're going to look up, look there, and go, I really want to go there. I really want this. It's just a major distraction. The other is it misguides us. It misguides us. And what I mean by that, it has the ability, envy has the ability to persuade us and to take lies about people or situations and make us believe that it's actually true. Envy deceives us like nothing else. It just makes us believe stuff that is not necessarily true. It allows us to go, my feelings are real, so they must be true. P.S. Not true. Feelings are very real. Very, very real. But that doesn't mean they're always grounded in truth. That's not true. That's not true. So envy does that. So how do we move from there? How can envy actually be helpful to us? So let's move on. What happened to this guy? So Asaph talks about how he almost slipped. He was frustrated. He can't believe he did this. He feels like he wasted his life trying to be good. And then he says in verse 17, he says, then I went into your sanctuary, O God, and I finally understood the destiny of the wicked. And he keeps on and he goes, describes some more. So he moves from like this idea, this pronoun of they to I to now you. So now he's looking to not those people and not they, not me, but he's looking up and he goes, but you. Like I got close to you. But then I went into your sanctuary. I went to you and I finally understood. Verse 25, he keeps on going because he wants to talk about what happened to him. Verse 25, he says this. He says, whom have I in heaven but you? I love that phrase. I desire you more than anything. I desire you more than anything on earth. My heart, my health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. As for me, how good it is to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the what? Wonderful things you do. He's moved from they to me to you, God. I mean, God, I went to you. And so what happens to Asaph is that he has a moment in which he actually becomes very real. He goes in and goes deeper in with God. He goes into a place where he actually allows himself to be very vulnerable, and he goes into this place called the sanctuary. So the answer really to envy is that if you're going to make envy helpful, and if you allow envy to make you real and realign you, you have to start with this real conversation with why you feel what you feel, not just what you feel, but why do you feel this? Envy seems very shallow, but the way it's actually helpful is that if you take it deeper, if you sit in it and go, God, why am I feeling this in this season of my life? What's going on with me? Like, say if you're in your 20s, say if you're in your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, say you've got your situation, it's different from others. You're thinking, you're stopping and going, I want to get real about this. Why am I feeling this? See, to Asaph, he says, I went to your sanctuary. He actually worked at the temple. So he could mean, I literally went to the temple. Or he could mean, I went to a place that's not really a place. I went into a perspective, because perspective is the one thing that changes everything. It is the one place you actually want to get to. See, we think it's about a location. It's about like, I want to get there and I want to live this kind of life. But he's saying, no, I went into the sanctuary. I went into a perspective. I got a perspective that I couldn't get being anywhere. You see, you could be here because we've understood this. You're always here. Your future is what? Here. And here you can actually get perspective. Perspective is this idea of like, okay, I see what's going on. He got it. He's like, I see now what's happening. I see you working in my life. Oh my gosh, you know what? I am so glad. Who have I in heaven but you? He's like, I get this. I get this now. I got it. I went into the sanctuary. I got real with you. You see, your sanctuary is not coming on Sunday morning. It's actually a moment in life where you put aside all the things that you're dealing with, and you sit and you go, I want to get into the sanctuary. I want to get into a real conversation with God. It says, okay, why am I feeling this? What's going on with me? What's God speak to me? Why are you letting me do and feel some of the things? Because I'll tell you what, if you don't go into your sanctuary, which means it could be as simple as taking a ride and sitting in your car for a little bit longer. It's getting into a place, finding yourself alone. It might be retreat, go somewhere. But it might be coming to a church service, maybe watching this. I'm not quite sure. But a real sanctuary is a place where you are alone with the presence of God and no other presence. And you're going, what is going on with me? I think it's great to have conversations with friends and counselors and people who are wise. But at some point, the only way you can get into a sanctuary is by yourself. There is no one else allowed there. It's just you. And some of us have never gone into a sanctuary because we always have people with us. And he goes, I went into your sanctuary. I get this. I got it. I got a perspective. You see, what's the difference between the bitter you and the happy you, or the satisfied you? Perspective. What's the difference between the offended you and you're good with people? Perspective. What stands in the way of you being jealous and not jealous? Perspective. Self-centered or not self-centered? Perspective. Fearful or not fearful? Perspective. Victim or not a victim? Perspective. It's all perspective. I mean, this is kind of a, you know, not a funny thing, but it's when I think of the word perspective, I think of what happened several years ago. A friend of mine from Sri Lanka, a pastor friend, came over to the States, and I had already been in Sri Lanka but 2 years in a row doing some work with him. And he was at my house, and he came in, and we were having lunch or something like that. And he looked outside my house through the windows, and he looked and he said, "Oh, who lives there?" And it was my garage. You know, I have a detached garage. And he says, who lives there? He said, they're very, very close. Whose house is that? And he says, yeah, who, is someone stay there? Who stays there? And I go, my car. My car stays there. And he looked at me like, I'm sorry, your car? He says, whose house is that? It's for my car. And at that moment, I remember, and I'll never forget it, because I've been to his house. And my detached garage is pretty much bigger than his house. It's like, I'm like, oh my God, perspective. And it's so easy to go, well, he could be that guy that goes, are you kidding me, God? Are you kidding me? His car has a house bigger than my family. And my detached garage is not huge. I mean, it's like two-car garage kind of thing. It's normal in one sense here. But it's all perspective, isn't it? It's all perspective. And for some of us, we've lost that. The place you want to get to find joy, to move away from envy, that place is called perspective. It's called perspective. Let me give you two passages of scripture that I think that will help you go into the sanctuary. It's helped me a whole lot. This is one of my favorite passages. I tell this to myself all the time. It's Proverbs 30. It says this. It's in the Message translation. It says, God, I'm asking two things before I die. Don't refuse me. Banish lies from my lips and liars from my presence. Give me enough food to live on, neither too much nor too little. If I'm too full, help me out. I might get independent, saying, God, who needs him? If I'm poor, I might steal and dishonor the name of my God. He's like, hey, just give me what I need. Just give me, don't make me too rich, don't make me too poor. Just give me what I need. And you know what I need. And then lastly, this is one that's been really on my mind recently. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 8 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Like, don't be anxious, right? Don't be envious. It says, tell God what you need and thank him for what he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. This last phrase, line, I love. He says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. He's like, hey, this is the most important thing. This is the most important thing. And in fact, guys, this is the answer to envy. Answer to allowing envy to actually allow you to be real and to realign your life. Here's a very practical way. One final thing. He says, hey, I want you to think about these things. I know all the things you think about, all the feelings you have. Fix your thoughts on these. Whatever is what? True. No, not true. What's true? I know what you feel. No. What is true? What is what? Honorable. Hey, what's honorable? What is honorable? What is actually right in the situation? What is pure? What is lovely? And lastly, what? Help me out. Think of those things. He's like, fix your thoughts on those things. What's true? What's pure? What's lovely? What's right? What's honorable? What's that? I think and I believe that we can allow envy to shape us, to allow us to have real conversations. For some of you, as we end, I want to pray this prayer. I want to pray that you would see that God is not just done with you. Like in one sense, he's not just thinking, you know what, I'm out of blessings and I'm out of plans for your life. I'm just out. And you have your lot and they have their lot and you just need to have a better attitude. That's not what God wants. What God wants you to understand is, here is where the future is. It's here. And so you and I have to work on here. And perspective is the place you want to get to. It really is. But you have to have real conversation about who you are. And you have to go into that sanctuary to have a real conversation. And then you have to allow God to realign your life. I was reading a book by a Franciscan monk, and he talks about the two things that allow us to get really deep with God. The two things in life that allow every human heart to really go deep spiritually. And he believes it's love, it's a deep love, or intense love, and intense suffering. Those are two things that make us go really deep, because we find ourselves at the end of who we are. So I don't know where you are. I don't know if deep love motivates you or deep anguish or suffering. But wherever you are, get into that sanctuary. Get real and realign your life. Hey, let me pray for us. Lord God, I thank you so much for this conversation. I thank you the feelings we have, the way you've wired us up. There's a purpose to it. And though we find ourselves in moments where we're looking at other people's lives, all the things that they have that we want, God, we're jealous at times. We're envious of times. We go, well, what about, and why can't I have that relationship? And why can't my life look like that? And why can't I, and why can't, and why can't, and why can't? God, I pray that regardless of where we are in this moment, we might be at Metro, just kind of in our zone and kind of thinking through what's going on. We might be a volunteer there and going, God, what are you doing in my life? I feel like I'm trying to do the right things, but what am I doing here? God, we might be watching online, just tuned in, just thinking about who we are. God, we might be in this room. God, we might be anywhere in the world just watching this message. In this moment, I just pray, God, would you allow us to be drawn in with your presence. Allow us to know that we need to get real with who we are and the feelings we have, that we don't need to pretend that we're not envious and we're not jealous and we don't compete. Of course we do. But God, we want you to realign our thoughts and our minds. And Father, I pray that as we respond, as we go to the cross, we realign our lives. We put something on the cross that reminds us of what is really true and what is really real and what is really honorable and what is really lovely, and we put that there. God, we go receive communion, reminding ourselves, God, of what you have done for us, that here is where the future is. It's not out there, it's here. And God, that you shedding your blood for us, you preparing a way that we can have a conversation with God, it is a really real thing, and we want to move into that. And God, for some of us, going and lighting a candle is the thing we need to do today. So God, I pray in Jesus' name, as we respond, would you speak to us? Would you speak to us? Speak to us. Let's stand together.